The future of work isn't at work at all. It's everywhere. So get the power of the nation's largest gig speed network with Comcast Business. It can deliver gig speeds to the most businesses so you can do more than bounce back. You can bounce forward. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, March 9th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Non-fungible tokens have been a major topic of conversation on the internet lately. But they're still a pretty new concept and very confusing. So on today's show, our markets reporter, Caitlin Ostroff, will join us to demystify NFTs, what they are and why they're so buzzy all of a sudden. That's after these headlines. Investors continued to rotate out of tech stocks yesterday, pushing the tech-heavy Nasdaq down 2.4%. That's in contrast with a surge in the Dow, which closed up nearly 1%. Here's our markets reporter, Amrit Ramkumar, with more on why the two indexes are diverging.
High-growth tech companies and internet stocks like Apple, Amazon, Microsoft, etc. are still expected to post some of the best earnings moving forward, but psychologically, a lot of investors are now planning to travel later in the year and do things that should boost cyclicals that are reliant on better economic activity. We could see this tug-of-war playing out for a while.
The Amazon-backed food delivery company Deliveroo is planning to go public on the London Stock Exchange. The IPO is expected to value the company at around $10 billion, according to people familiar with the matter. It would be one of the highest-profile listings in the UK this year, and it'll be a test of the UK's appetite for tech listings. London Stock Exchange is set to implement new rules that would help it compete against New York and Hong Kong for lucrative tech IPOs. And the board of GameStop is tapping the co-founder of Chewy, Ryan Cohen, to lead a committee dedicated to transforming the video game retailer. Cohen, who joined GameStop's board in January, has been pushing the company to revamp its business model since last year. GameStop is now facing increased pressure to deliver strong results after retail investors pushed its share price up earlier this year. All right, coming up after the break, it's the new acronym you need to know, NFT. We'll have more on what NFTs are and why everyone's been talking about them next.
The future of work isn't at work at all. It's everywhere. So get the power of the nation's largest gig speed network with Comcast Business. It can deliver gig speeds to the most businesses so you can do more than bounce back. You can bounce forward. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Here is a list of things that have been made into NFTs and sold on the internet in recent months. A Kings of Leon album. Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey's first ever tweet. A version of the Nyan Cat meme. And video of basketball icon LeBron James dunking. So, yeah, NFTs are garnering a lot of attention lately, not to mention money. But what are they? And why are so many people so excited about them? To find out, we turn to our markets reporter, Caitlin Ostroff. Hey, Caitlin, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so starting with the basics here, NFT stands for non-fungible token. But what does that mean? What are these things?
Yeah, so non-fungible means what it says. So the idea is you have one unique asset and it can't be exchanged for anything else. So if you think of Bitcoin, like you can take one Bitcoin and you can trade it for someone else's Bitcoin, and it's going to still be the same Bitcoin, the same value. With an NFT, it's basically this unique asset. There's only one of it that exists. And so because of that, you cannot exchange it for a like object.
And, you know, we mentioned a few things at the top that have been made into NFTs. But when you buy an NFT, what are you actually buying?
Yeah, so an NFT essentially comes in two parts. So if you are buying, say, a music album or a digital painting, you get the actual file that either has the JPEG or it has the MP4 files or whatever it happens to be of the thing that you actually want, the thing that in your mind gives it value because this painting is pretty or this album is great. Then with that, you get the actual non-fungible token. And what that basically winds up being is it's this token that gets placed into your virtual wallet, the same place you would hold Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies. And that token basically conveys the ownership of the asset to you. So you have the painting, but the painting alone doesn't say that, you know, this person actually owns it, that this person bought it. what is valuable about these is that token that says, on this date, this asset was created, it was sold to so-and-so for X amount of money. And that is what gives that digital asset worth, so that if you ever wanted to go and sell it to someone else one day, you can actually prove you're the person who originally bought it or you're the person who created it.
So why are they so popular all of a sudden? Why are people paying this much attention?
Yeah, so this is a market that really started coming into fruition at the end of 2017. And since then, it has been growing slowly. But in 2020 specifically, it really picked up. And because of the idea that you could have ownership of these digital assets, it lent itself very naturally to collectibles, you know, baseball cards, things that people historically have collected and have historically had value. All of a sudden, you had the idea that you could actually do this in the digital space. It's not just, you know, your dad's old comic book sitting in your closet. It's like something that you don't have to have take up space. And so all of a sudden, you know, you had the art collectors and you had the NBA and you had all of these other big brands, these big organizations look at this and say, we have all of this digital content, like we could make those collectibles. And that's basically how the NFT market has started to take off.
Got it. But one thing I'm confused about, you know, with baseball cards, it's a zero sum game. If I have one, you don't have access to it. But in the case of like Jack Dorsey's first tweet, for instance, or the Nyan Cat meme, regardless of who buys that, anyone can still go on the internet and see those things for free. So what's going on there?
Yeah, and that's actually one of the, it's almost like a confounding aspect of this market, because you're like, if anyone can see it, like why all of a sudden does this have value? And what people have argued is that, you know, things have value in part because everyone sees it and everyone enjoys it. When you look at memes, they go viral and they wind up having value because so many people are constantly sharing it. If you have an NFT tied to one of these things, there's only one person who actually owns it. And basically, people are betting that despite the fact that anyone can copy this image or see this tweet, that that ownership itself will have value. And the fact that it's spreading will actually make more people want to bid on it if you ever sell it. Because of that, despite the fact that no one actually owns the copyright of any of these assets, you know, it's not actually a detriment to its value, as one might think. It's actually a boost.
Got it. And, you know, another big part of why people are paying attention to NFTs is how much money they're generating through trades. We're seeing some of these trades net in the millions of dollars. So how exactly do you trade an NFT?
Yeah, so NFTs basically operate on blockchain. It's not quite the same blockchain that underlies Bitcoin. It's on the Ethereum network. But the idea is that because it's on this blockchain that a bunch of people have created assets off of, and you can buy and trade it on this, you know, different platforms tap into that. And so you can go on something like OpenSea and you can buy one of thousands of digital paintings, and they'll kind of facilitate the technical parts of that transaction. But because of that blockchain, you can sell it on to someone else through any one of these marketplaces.
And, you know, of course, as with any time we talk about cryptocurrencies, I imagine there's some risk associated with NFTs. What can you tell us?
Yeah, so one of the risks with NFTs is that it's still, you're seeing a lot of new marketplaces still. And while some platforms do a decent job of vetting, you know, who is actually selling a lot of these tokens and these works of art or music or whatever they happen to be, they are vetting who the seller is, but a lot of them aren't still. And so you wind up having a bit of a tricky situation if you're trying to figure out, is the person who's selling this the actual owner? Like, is this their intellectual property? Are they the person who actually created it? And it gets really dicey if you're talking about someone like Banksy, who like is famously anonymous, and how would you prove it is them? And how would you disprove, you know, if it isn't? It winds up being a very difficult area that I think this market is still trying to figure out. And the other risk you have is just that, you know, cryptocurrencies and most crypto assets tend to be very speculative, and you don't necessarily know what's driving those prices. And a lot of it is just kind of hoping that there's someone else to buy it when you decide to sell. You wind up having this concern that, you know, if there's no one who's going to buy this NFT when you want to sell it, because it's a very illiquid market, are you going to wind up losing a lot of money? And we've seen a lot of speculative boom and bust cycles in cryptocurrencies and crypto assets. And so people are just watching it and going, you know, is there anything actually underlying this, or could it all come crashing down?
Caitlin, we're obviously in the early stages of this, but how could we see NFTs develop?
Yeah, that's very much an open question right now. So the technology is still very new. People are kind of seeing what you can do with NFTs. There's some argument that, you know, if it's just a matter of ownership, you know, maybe we could see some changes in this market, but maybe it's, you know, it's basically like just going to be how it is. But the technology underlying NFTs and the Ethereum network, it's actually very flexible. And so a lot of people are thinking that, you know, even though NFTs right now are getting a lot of focus for the digital collectible side of things, you could even see this kind of market branch out into other types of smart contracts where maybe an NFT mints other NFTs and people can claim some ownership of new products that one financial product is generating, and people who originally create them get royalties with each sale. And there's just a lot of opportunities to kind of encode different behaviors in assets that we don't ordinarily think of. Like if you buy a stock, you might get a dividend at some point, but like outside of that, you're not really in for a lot of surprises about what happens with the asset. And so it's still very young. We're still very much trying to see like what actually happens with this market. But it's because of that in part that people are very excited about it, because it's new, it's something that isn't fully understood the potential of, and that just makes it more valuable.
All right, that's our reporter, Caitlin Ostroff. Thanks, Caitlin.
Thanks.
That's it for today's tech news briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.